and on ABC Radio National and Artworks, it's now time for The Vent. Lauren Clark is a young theatre and film writer and director and co-founder of Standing There Productions. Neuromarketing is the subject of her vent. Working in theatre, the thing that surprises me the most is the audience. Specifically, the fact that it simultaneously is two things. It's a single organism on the one hand, responding as one to a creative work. At the same time, it's a group of individuals engaged in their own creative and social process. So how do hundreds of strangers crammed together in a dark room develop a cohesive response to a performance, and then the next night, a different audience responds to the same work differently? Why? Could it be an embarrassing biological hangover to do with pack mentality? I don't know. What I do know is that there is a lot of money to be made from decoding audience responses. There's a particularly Orwellian field of research known as neuromarketing, which uses brain scan technology to monitor the changes in the brain that occur when we're responding to things. Personally, I think that if you're inspecting audiences for clues, you've got your art upside down. One of the reasons to produce art in the first place is to communicate with precision. The best writing is precise. The most engaged audience member is one who recognises that precision. American writer Maya Angelou tells a story about the first time she saw a portrait of William Shakespeare. It shocked her, because he wasn't a 16-year-old black girl. She thought he must have been just like her. Now, that's quite a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of poor old Shakespeare. His work is so powerful, he's been imagined through time and space and race and gender into the image of a person with whom he has had very little in common in his own lifetime. This identification with the author shows us how powerful this relationship can be. We could be anybody, anywhere in the world, listening to a podcast or watching a movie or reading a book, and suddenly we recognise something we can claim. An idea, a story, a tone. Quite often, it's a joke. Last year, I saw a film called Stone Brothers. It was a raw, rude, crude, over-the-top comedy made almost entirely by Indigenous filmmakers. The night I went, the film's director, Richard J. Franklin, spoke. He pointed out that Australia is home to one of the oldest storytelling cultures in the world, and yet those stories have traditionally been adapted for screen by white filmmakers. He said it was about time Australian films were made by Aboriginal people and for Aboriginal audiences. At the screening I attended, I was in a white minority, in a full house, in which almost everybody was weeping with laughter. It was hilarious to be in that audience. The film's central character is struggling with an embarrassing problem. He's too white. There's a fantasy sequence in which he imagines himself being stopped in a supermarket by a white couple, and then by more white people, until suddenly he's swamped by white Australians, all clamouring to apologise. "I'm sorry," they keep saying. "We're sorry." He just grins and lets the sorries wash over him. I'm not sure what it was like to see this scene with a white audience, but at that point in the film on the night I saw it, there was an Indigenous man in the front row who jackknifed so violently with laughter, I thought he might require medical assistance. Stone Brothers wasn't the most successful film of the year, but I loved it because it didn't depict Aboriginal people as victims, doesn't treat anti-racism with reverence, doesn't adhere to cinematic conventions, but mostly, it isn't aimed at a mainstream audience. And that's revolutionary. As an audience member, I have one request for writers, filmmakers, television executives and funding bodies. Don't underestimate us. Trust us and we'll trust you. Don't give us a big, obvious explanation for everything. Don't market research our brains. Writing television shows to match demographic research, changing the narrative of an election because the polls tell you your audience likes one thing rather than another. Stop it. Let your audience do some of the imagining, so that Shakespeare can become whoever we want him or her to be. When a piece of art or journalism or fiction is powerful enough or funny enough or precise enough, chances are there are plenty of people out there who will feel like it's just for them.
Lauren Clark with her vent, and I love that story about Shakespeare being a black teenage girl. Lauren Clark is a writer and director, and she wrote an essay on contemporary theatre in Australia that was published in Meanjin earlier this year. It's a good read, and if you're interested, there is a link to it on the Artworks website. And the vent continues here next week in Artworks, someone else getting cross about something on our behalf. And look, I'm terribly sorry, but we have run out of time right now to include your vents and other comments here in Artworks next week, hopefully. I'm Amanda Smith. This is Radio National, abc.net.au/rn. The news is coming up in just a tick.